Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And boy, do we have a show planned for you. Yesterday, the Wellington police had some unexpected visitors in their central police station. About 100 protesters waltzed right on in with an enormous cannabis plant. That it also had a bong in between it. I'm sure Casper Leach on this network would be happy to hear about this. To hotbox the the police station. And no arrests were made. And it was a peaceful protest, as everything involved with cannabis is, apart from, of course, illegal drug running. And they also wound up down at Parliament, having a big smoke up on the Parliament lawn. And a member of the Green Party came out in support, and apparently that was the only person who decided to support the 1 in 8 New Zealanders that's currently a criminal because of the cannabis laws, which I find pretty frickin' disgusting, really. And also, one of New Zealand's biggest drug runners, or rather the lawyer who represented him, the Mr. Asia Syndicate, has just won an award of defamation against a man named Gregory Hallett. Greg Hallett's a man that I've seen a couple of times, and he's a great dude, and he knows his stuff. However, what he does is he reveals some of the most terrible facts about the top lawyers, top politicians, top police in this country, and the various nefarious activities that they're involved in, like drug trafficking and various other kingpin-type activities. And he's been ordered to pay, I think it was $140,000 in damages to Peter Williams, QC, Queen's Counsel, a lawyer here. And goodness knows that the article explaining all this is full of inaccuracies and yellow journalism. But why should there be any surprise there?
Well, the scary thing is, Vinny, the scary thing is there is he's been charged 140 grand just for saying something which should be freedom of speech, you know, even if it's wrong.
Yep. And I think that's probably what's going to happen now is that anybody who says anything against anybody else that's deemed offensive might wind up in court. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. And we'll be in court Monday. And we'll be right back.
So good to be alive and on top. My reach is global, my tower secure. My cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out 1 million vaccinations, or let them all die in exasperation. Have them all healed from the lacerations, have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison just because I don't like them. And I can do anything with no permission. I have it all under my command because I can guide a missile but.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. with Will on American Freedom Radio and, incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And if I'm correct, we have two very grand guests on the show with us now. We have George and Jim from, what was it, WeWon'tFly.com. A bunch of guys gotten together, decided to stand up against the naked body scanners, which will not be entirely confined to airport security as they start cruising the streets with their body scan vans. George, Jim, welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks for having us on.
Oh, it's cool, man. I mean, give us a bit of a backgrounder if you can, guys. Which one of you is more the spokesperson? But I guess it's all the same kettle of fish, isn't it?
Why don't you go first, George?
Okay. Well, recently, the TSA implemented these new porno scanners. I like to call them. What they do is they use a high dose of radiation to take a picture of your body. It looks, you know, there's a lot of detail. It's kind of, a little bit immodest, to say the least. But the radiation from it, they've underestimated it, according to some University of California scientists. It can, especially testicles and breasts and eyes are very susceptible to the radiation. And now, just recently, they've added enhanced pat-downs, or what I call gropes, for those people, those few people who don't want to go through the scanners. Some people are very upset about this. One item that made the news is that a rape victim, she went through the grope and she felt that she was being raped again, and it just traumatized her terribly. There was a report today in the Boston Herald about a TSA agent, a charge of child rape. And so this situation is just out of hand. People are fed up. And our project is here to say, if you can avoid flying, don't fly. And if you really absolutely have to fly, opt out of the scanners, just for your own health.
Well, it seems about right, you know. My thoughts are that anybody who can take naked pictures of you or grope you shouldn't be somebody who you try to spend an awful lot of time with.
I'd say that's a very sane philosophy to have.
Yeah, I'm just going to chip in here straight away and say, you know, it's a common thread that we have to keep going, getting out of the way of the system as it turns to tyranny. And why should we not have to fly because, you know, a bunch of trash want to make a police state of everything? And institute dangerous technologies at our borders. You know, why should people not have to fly? I say people should be able to go wherever they want, whenever they want, and we should, just lobby for them to stop using these machines, perhaps.
Amen. And that's the idea behind here. You know, some of us, we're kind of tired of begging government to do something that's not good for it. So the idea here is don't fly. Strike the pocketbook. You know, hit the airlines in the pocketbook until they wise up and start lobbying on our behalf. Get them on our side and lobby the state to get these scanners and this groping out of here. You know, security is important, but this isn't security. This is security theater. Even a top Israeli expert on airport security, you know, you got to think these guys know what they're talking about. It's Israel. Even he said, these scanners are a waste of money, they're not effective, and they don't use them in Israel.
The options are, people out there who believe that Al-Qaeda is out there and all the rest of it, I mean, how do we get through to them? What are the options? Are we just saying the standard scanners prior to this, you know, that was enough of a compromise and, you know, now we're dealing with dangerous technologies? How do we break it down to those people, do you think?
Well, I think most of those people are, vociferous, anti-Al-Qaeda people, and the people who are worried about that, I think we tend to find them on the right of the political spectrum. And those people are concerned about things like traditional values and their families and their children. And, you know, I don't know if everybody knows this, but with these new groping technology or these new groping procedures, they're groping children, too. And these naked body scanners, you know, they're taking very detailed pictures of your naked body. It's a virtual strip search. So while, you know, there should be excellent security at the airports, these are just way overstepping. They violate traditional values, and there are better ways.
And I don't think that giving in to the government at every turn is a bright idea for any free society, right? You know, and this is what I find is happening in general. We're losing our ability to not be treated like criminals. I mean, isn't that the key here? Really, is to make everybody feel like they've committed some kind of crime by getting on a plane. I mean, what's going on here? It doesn't make any sense. And the health impacts of these naked body scanners are, unprecedented. There is no telling how much cancer or how much disease is going to be caused by people's random exposure to these things, you know? I mean, why don't we just drink radioactive Kool-Aid? I'm sure that'll be much better for us.
Exactly.
Yeah, and, you know, in April, some of these scientists at the University of California sent a letter to the White House expressing their scientific and medical concerns about the device, and only just a few days ago did the White House deign to respond. You know, the policy seems to be, like you said, guilty until groped.
Guilty until groped. That sounds like a great policy at a rock concert. the mosh pit. Hey, but you know, what's the response of the TSA been to these criticisms? I mean, have they responded at all to your site, wewon'tfly.com?
No, not really. In fact, we've been invited on a morning radio show in Florida tomorrow, and the host told me that, or the producer, he told me that they invited the local head of the TSA to join us so we could talk about it, you know, like regular people, but they refused. So I think they're just trying to avoid it. You know, Congress is out of session. It's a lame duck Congress. So I don't think anybody's going to rein these guys in. I don't think there's the least bit of hope of reining these guys in for a while. So they're just going to hang on.
Well, it means that the citizens have to take responsibility for their own safety. And my take on it is that any radiation bath that you take while you're cruising through an airport is a risk to your health. And as far as I know, people have a right to protect their health, right?
Yeah. Well, that's the first thing you've got. It's your life, right? Once they start threatening the right to your life, you know, what's left?
Yeah, and it's not as though they care either, do they? I mean, I would consider that getting naked body scanned, all right, would be a huge advantage to global pedophile rings, but not much else.
Well, you know what? These are like the voting machines. You know, they're eminently hackable. They have Ethernet connections, and they run Windows XP. I mean, that's not security either, and they're collecting hundreds or thousands of these images every day.
And I'm sure celebrities going through these naked body scanners can also expect to find their naked pictures up on websites available for sale and perusal by the general public at some point. And when that happens, oh, everybody will be up in arms. But if it happens to hundreds of thousands of children or something like that, it's like, well, you know, it's good. It's against terrorism.
Or they'll just deny that it happened. You know, like the there's an incident with a traveler in Miami, Meg McLean, that's made the rounds. And basically the TSA is just kind of – they released security video apparently against their own privacy guidelines. But they didn't release the whole thing. So it makes her look like a liar. you know, that's they have so much power, so much manpower, so much money that they can, you know, just make you look like a liar.
And it's not fair, really, is it? And the enhanced pat down, touching your genitals, the hands under the breasts, and all of this kind of thing. It's gross. And my thoughts is that with or without your website, I think it discourages people from flying at all. And I would consider that the New World Order complex doesn't really want people well-traveled and doesn't really want them to be going around doing business, right? Stay at home. Be afraid.
That's one of the things. Yeah, that's one of the things that kind of led to the Depression and then the Second World War. They, you know, with the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act and all that, they closed down international trade. And, you know, when you start closing down international trade, whether it be of products, ideas, or people, you know, that's the day when war is getting closer. And that's not in anybody's self-interest.
Yeah, yeah. And are they scanning troops as well going through airport checkpoints?
You know, I got a message from a guy in the Air Force, and he said he went through a scanner in his full Air Force uniform, and they groped him just like anybody else.
God bless America.
Don't you think it's all about sort of training us all into submission and getting us used to being part of a police state and perhaps, you know, getting in line at camps, you know?
That's exactly what it is. We know this has nothing to do with security. It's security theater, and, you know, but what is their purpose? They're spending a lot of money. Sure, they're making some people rich, but why would they go to all this trouble, raise all this, make all this effort without some purpose? And I believe it is just that, conditioning for obedience, humiliation, subservience, getting people to say, you know, just used to the idea that you see somebody in a badge, in a uniform, you're supposed to reflexively bare your soul and empty your pockets and take any command given to you by these heroes. And this is something awful. And I don't think people are going to stand for it, though. I think they're hopefully underestimating what people will tolerate. When I've shown pictures of these scans to people at the airport, even pilots, I talked to a pilot, I showed him the picture of the scan. He goes, I went through that this morning. That's what I look at? Oh, my God. People have no idea what they're actually doing. So once they find out, I mean, what kind of self-respecting person would allow their daughter, wife, mother, son, anyone they care about, to be photographed nude by these people or sexually assaulted and felt up for the sake of air travel? I mean, are people really that pathetic that they would do that to their own families?
Apparently thousands of people a day. I mean, I think, and like you say, when you show them the images, then it sort of kicks in. But until then, you know, people are pretty servile. I mean, people, you know, I've got nothing to fear, I've got nothing to hide. You know, and well, it's just the state. It's like the state can view us, you know, that we just live in a glass house, pretty much. And then they get total darkness, total secrecy around them. And like you say, I mean, you can see the way these guys operate. There are always multiple reasons for bringing anything in. There's their cover story for the public, and then there's multiple functional reasons. And I can't help but think that this is about setting up infrastructure for when, you know, the crap hits a fan.
That's why National Opt-Out Day, November 24th, is so important. That's the day we're urging people all over the country to opt out. You know, if you have to fly that day, opt out of the scanners, you know, civil disobedience style, overwhelm these gropers. Because if everybody's opting out of the scanners, then they're not effective anymore. And the groping is too manual and too slow to be effective for everybody. So just by opting out, we can defeat this.
And they're bringing microchips, so it's fast and efficient.
That's what it's about. That's what people want. They want fast, efficient, and they don't want to have to think. That's a shame.
I want one card in my wallet that does everything. One card in my arm, so I don't need a wallet. You know, it just tends towards, you know, absolute laziness, absolute tyranny. That's what big government breeds.
Yeah, we've gotten all pretty damn complacent in this day and age, haven't we? You know, we don't care about the majority of the things that affect us. You know, it's like you're drinking water and you don't care what's in it. You're eating food and you don't care what it's flavored with. It doesn't make any sense because everything that affects you should be something that you understand. And if you don't understand it, learn.
You're 100% correct. It's amazing sometimes, you know, to see all the terrible things that are going around, the environmental pollution that's enabled by the state and by state chartered corporations, the GMO takeover, you know, all this stuff. And, you know, that's and this now. And that's why we urge everyone to, you know, organize in your local communities, stage educational events at your local airports, make them peaceful, hand out educational information. You know, do just what Jim has done. Jim and the crew in Philadelphia have already done at the Philadelphia airport, and that is just show people what it is, because their reaction is just going to change everything.
That's absolutely right.
Can you tell us about that, Jim?
Well, in fact, I talked to some airline baggage checkers, and these are the guys that take your bags on the curb and check you in. They saw the flyer I had with the picture of the scan. They were like, whoa, they brought their friends over. Look at this. Look. Then he tapes it with packing tape to his counter. So everybody at his station would see this information. People are very concerned once they have the facts. So it seems like something that's so easy to do that anybody can do, make a simple flyer, print out a simple message, include the photograph of a scan, let them know what's going on. Let them know they have the right to opt out. Let them know what's going to happen to them when they do. And empower people, because I think once people realize this, most people are just not going to accept it. They're totally outraged, even pilots. I mean, we saw that brave pilot from ExpressJet who he walked out. He said no. He said, I go through this, you know, I've been through this checkpoint every day of my professional career, and they've never asked for nude photography or groping. I'm not doing it.
And we will be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with more Copping of Feels.
I take my anger to a place that ain't gonna get up in your face. The facts we okay, but the system fails. We got to change the way we see the problem if we're gonna fix this place. My living soul don't care about the color of your face. Unite and roll, respect our right to live here on the land. It's Tino Ranga, Tina Tonga, we don't own the banks. The parliament does
down.
So where'd you rather stand? They paying their bills off your back with hefty tax demands. Misleading our youth without...
Having fun out there? Hey, I wonder if anybody's gone through a body scanner with popcorn in their pocket yet. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will, our very special guests, George and Jim from WeWon'tFly.com, resisting the porno scanners that are being implemented in airports across the US and many other nations, except Israel, of course, because their security is already tight enough. And I wanted to discuss with you guys, we were talking about this over the break, and the naked images, you've shown this to a pilot, right, and he goes, oh my god, I can't believe it, do that. But are you even allowed to stand outside the airport with those naked images and show them to the passengers coming in? Because then you might be seen as being totally offensive, and it's really let me finish. It's totally ironic, right, because of the fact that this is something that's going on all the time, but as soon as you let people actually see it, it's pornography. It's offensive.
ironic. That would be, you know, I would gladly face those charges. I think that would be hysterical if they wanted to accuse me of spreading indecent material that they generated themselves.
Yeah, that whole situation is a great condensation of the sort of hypocrisy you see in the system. There's one set of laws, one set of rules for them, well, basically no rules, complete chaos and anarchy, and then another complete dictate for us that we have to abide by, otherwise we're bad. Yeah. Isn't it so funny that they can just go bend all the rules and just make them up as they go along?
It's good to be the king, right?
Yeah, just like
fight over the crumbs, huh?
with the Meg McClain case, they released their edited security video. But I understand that violates their own privacy policy. You know, they'll do what suits them when it suits them, and that's how they work. They have the power.
Apparently, in Britain, it now qualifies as, you know, the largest sort of stream of child pornography in the country.
Oh yeah.
It's just like, but once what we were saying before, the edge, you know, people not caring enough. Well, they do want you to put it in their face, but until that point, it's kind of, you know, apathy prevails and saves the day, as people just would rather go through the scans than face a confrontation with some rather rotund, you know, TSA officer or something.
That's why we're doing what we're doing, especially with this National Boycott Day, the day before Thanksgiving. Because we can, I mean, once people are at the airport, they've got their plans, it's going to be hard for them to back out. But they're going to go home, they're going to get to their Thanksgiving table somehow, and they're going to talk about what happened with their friends and their family and their loved ones. And the next time they're going to say, you know what, yeah, let's drive. I think driving is a better option here. It's only 15 or 20 hours. Let's just get in the car and go. When people are going to have that choice. And people are going to say, well, do we want to go on this family trip this summer to Disney World? Well, can we get through the airport without our children being groped? Well, that's going to be a factor. You know what? Instead, let's just drive to the beach. People have a choice. This is our, perhaps the only, the final freedom they can't take away from us is the power to say, no, just no, I'm not doing it. Forget it. You know, bother somebody else, not participating. So that is really the only leverage that we have that's significant. We're not going to be writing letters to our congressmen. I mean, other people might want to feel the need to do that, knock yourself out. But the rulers seem to have very little interest in the wishes of their subjects. So we're not even going to bother wasting our time with them. But there are people whose livelihood depends upon people buying airplane tickets. These are the people that we want on our side. These are the people that are going to go broke when people stop using their service. So,
well, the aircraft industry is already in trouble because a small rise in the price of fuel affects them heavily in terms of their competitiveness versus other forms of transport. And so, you know, they've already got the fuel costs. They've already got this climate change tax, you know, waiting to be pushed upon them over in the States. It's already down here in New Zealand. They've got all these pressures right now, so they should really be on our side in this. And as people lose their jobs and as the economy freefalls, you know, less and less people are having the disposable income to just go and fly down to the Caribbean for their holidays. Or, you know, I haven't been on the plane in years. I don't know about you, Vinny, but it just you know, most people's economic circumstances are costing the aircraft industry also. So, I mean, they need to look long and hard at the situation, really.
Yeah, I've flown domestically a little bit here in New Zealand. We don't have those scanners here, but once we do get them, there's a huge amount of travel that happens in landlocked countries, you know, United States, for example, being able to drive from one seaboard to the other. But in New Zealand, being a very small country and being a relatively well-traveled people by comparison to many other countries of the earth, flight is the only way to get out of our little island paradise, basically. And if they were to implement body scanners here, and I'm I'm certain that there's already plans to do exactly that. It'll basically tox up everybody.
Plus, these things aren't going to be contained in airports. That is, you know, for exactly. people to say, well, I'm just not going to fly. That's not the final solution either, because it's just a matter of time before they, you know, that they'll take the next logical step. Well, we've established that these are a good idea to have at airports, so now we're putting them at train stations. Now we're putting them at soccer games. Now we're putting them on at busy subways. Now we're just going to do random drive-arounds and scan people. Then we'll put them on the highway, at the toll booth, at the bridge. Eventually, it'll be impossible to avoid them.
Yeah.
It's just as you can imagine, isn't it?
And are they going to? Are they proposing any domestic use for this? Like, buy a body scanner for your home, scan your friends to make sure that they really are your friends. I mean, you know, and it sounds ridiculous, but me thinks that it's not actually too far away, because we live in such an insane society that everybody would think it's a good idea.
You know, but I still have a lot of faith in entrepreneurs. And I know that there's going to be a demand to travel. And as long as there's a demand, there's smart people out there. And they're already coming up with workarounds to the situation. I've seen special lead pasties that you can get, different privacy items that you insert into your clothing to protect yourself. I'm not sure how well these work with the different technologies or whether they'll trigger an automatic groping. But there's people out there working on these things. And I have faith that as long as there's a desire to travel, smart people will find a way for us to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I would never credit the government with being the most intelligent bunch of bright sparks out there, being able to conceive of their enemies' plans. In fact, many of the times they're just creating the enemies. You know,
right.
It's about as good as they can do. And where's the end of the road here for these people? I mean, as far as I'm concerned, extermination is the role of every government, regardless. You know, eventually the people up top go absolutely friggin' nuts, get absolutely out of control and start killing people, you know, and whether that be by hook or by crook, or by whether it be a large-scale extermination straight away, like in Khmer Rouge territory, or whether it be just a slow, nice, simmering death, like a fabulous toxicity bath that you go through every time you want to travel.
I think they're definitely more subtle here. You know, I don't think we're going to see, you know, fascist banners unfurled on the main streets. It's more of a creeping fascism, more of a creeping authoritarianism that we're seeing here. And a lot of people miss it because they're just kind of, you know, they got their blinders on and they trust that, you know, what they hear from the government and from the media is the whole and complete truth. And that's just not, unfortunately, that's not right.
Yeah, David Icke calls it the totalitarian tiptoe.
It's just too many people thinking, I read the paper, I go to MSN News, I'm informed, I'm smarter than my neighbor who doesn't. You know, and it's just kind of like, yeah, well, that's not the end of the story. There's a few more steps, you know?
There's uninformed and there's misinformed.
Now, speaking of this, I mean, people often will lax back and say, "Oh, let the expert handle it." Now, George, what's your background? I mean, how did you get into all of this? You're not a professional TSA employee or anything, are you?
I admit it. I'm a TSA employee in disguise. No, I don't have anything to do with the airline industry other than I have flown quite a bit. I studied history in college. I'm a teacher, IT guy. I'm a libertarian activist. That's me, and I'm a dad.
Bad guy.
That's my most important qualification for this job. I'm a dad and I'm a husband.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you have just heard the terrorist profile.
Libertarian historian.
Dad.
Yeah. And what about you, Jim?
I'm also a dad, and that is also one of my biggest motivating factors in opposing this, because there's no way I'm ever going to allow my children to be exposed to that. I just not in a million years. I don't care what I have to do. There's no need to have more than one child.
How dare you?
But you know, again, I have no real special skills. I'm a small business owner and a father and a husband and also a libertarian activist. But when I saw what was going on and I realized how it was going to impact my own family, and I realized that, you know, we really like to travel. I mean, it's a big, beautiful world, and I've never even been to New Zealand yet. I'll be damned if I'm just going to sit there and let them, you know, limit my mobility. I'm not ready to do that. So we have a pretty good freedom network here in the Philadelphia area, a lot of really talented activists, and you know, people like George, also in our network. We said, well, what can we do? And you'd be surprised with just regular people that have an idea can come up with. And I hope people all over the country would do this, because it doesn't take a whole lot of skills to just print out a flyer, go down to the airport, start passing it out, start talking to your local reporters or your neighbors, your family, Facebook, Twitter, you know, whatever it takes, just talk to people. And the more people find out, the sooner this is going to end.
Yeah. And the point that I was trying to make here is that the average person can make a huge amount of difference. I mean, the website wewon'tfly.com has been up for what, guys? A couple of days
About a week. Yeah.
About a week. And you were telling me you're getting something like 70,000 hits yesterday or something.
That's right. Yesterday, we reached 70,000 people with our message, and so far today, 50,000. And we're just a couple of guys with a conscience and a mouth and fingers, you know. So if we could do this, you know, everybody out there, you could do even greater things.
Yeah, it's all about amplification.
All the people have got to do is talk, really. It's just talking to your neighbor, and neighbors talking to their neighbors, and friends and family. And they're trying to shut down those traditional sort of relationships, aren't they? They're trying to say, you know, leave it to the experts, keep out of our business, politics, it's boring, it's not for you.
That's right, and that's what the government does. They're a third party who always wants to get between you and your neighbor or your customer or your friend or your family. They always want to tell you how to do business with other people. They always want to say what's right and what's wrong, but you know, they're not really subject to their own rules. They're unaccountable. You know, it's really hard to keep the government accountable, but they're real interested in controlling you and what you do with you, even consensually with your fellow human being.
Yeah, my consideration is that what's right is freedom, and what's wrong, invariably, is the government.
So people don't understand, especially all of the left. They just think that there's some omnipotent, benign, statist solution is the best one for humanity, that you don't understand the benefits of good government. They can just do your laundry for you and do everything for you.
Yes. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show, folks, and we'll be right back. His theme song.
Hey, I'm at the government. You do what I say.
Yeah. Hey, I heard those naked body scanners are dosing me with lots of radiation. They're going to kill me. Hey, forget about it.
Yes.
Hey, speaking of radiation getting dosed, just exactly how much of a dose? You know, I mean, I'm not sure if the specifics actually really matter because, you know, being cooked in microwave doesn't really suit me in my general thing. I mean, I don't even eat microwave food, let alone want to jump in one and, you know, snuggle up. Because the average doctor, when they're x-raying you, they stand behind this big effing blast shield, you know. So they and what are you doing now? You're sitting in this big thingy. What's going on here, man? How big and how bad are these things? And more to the point, are these people who are actually scanning you protected either?
Good question.
Well, I'd hate for them to suffer the ill health effects. I mean, imagine how expensive it would be for if they died a long, slow, cancerous death. it would be a terrible burden on the tax victims that'll have to foot the bill for that. But it is, you know, the health effects are to me secondary. There's people that'll say, "Oh, it's no big deal," and there's other scientists are saying, well, this could be very significant because the dose is small, but it's not being absorbed by your whole body. And that is sort of what their initial studies were sort of based on. How much can your whole body absorb safely? This radiation is being absorbed in your skin. So that means your skin cancer, testicle cancer, breast cancer, eye cancer, these are all going to be at increased risk. And I don't care if it's good for you. I'm still not doing it. But for those that are health conscious, I mean, you have to ask yourself, well, how much of a health risk is it worth to you for basically no benefit? So there's no reason to do any of this. And whether it's a little bit unhealthy or horribly unhealthy, doesn't matter because it's totally pointless anyway.
In terms of x-rays, what are we talking here? Because I've heard numbers up to 50 or 100 times the average x-ray in terms of exposure per scan.
I've heard that, you know, one trip through is kind of like, you know, just an x-ray, like a chest x-ray or something. But like Jim said, it's disproportionately absorbed in the skin and the tissue under the skin. So I think I got it from the University of California scientist. It's something like 20 times the exposure, you know, when you just consider the skin, than what the TSA is saying.
Yeah.
Plus, children are more susceptible. It could be worse for children. It could be worse for people that are predisposed or maybe already vulnerable to cancer.
It's another form of mass medication, isn't it? Just like cell phone towers, and they're throwing radiation everywhere. Yeah.
What are the possibilities of sterilization from these machines?
We probably won't know for decades. And then when they'll say, oh, look how silly we were. We never knew that injecting you with plutonium would be bad for your health. Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just like the diluted aluminium they put in sunscreens and, you know, the lead additives and fuel they didn't know about, supposedly. And it's just everything. You know, like even when you catch a flight, even once you get on the plane, it gets up to 30-odd thousand feet. You're being exposed, you know, if you go from L.A. to London, that's the equivalent of about 10 x-rays because of the cosmic radiation you're exposed to at those levels.
Yeah.
You know, climate changes, don't know cosmic radiation exists, but yeah, it does. But, you know, even so, it just turns a flight into this big, you know, health hazard, really.
Well, yeah. Isn't our entire existence at the moment this one big element of death soup? I mean, really, and what these body scanners are really doing is they're just adding an extra spice to this death soup, aren't they?
For no reason. I mean, there's we all take risks when we travel. As soon as we get in our car, we're taking a risk. We balance the risk versus the benefit. And I don't think that is such a crazy concept. My problem is at getting extra risk for no benefit and having no choice to even decide if I want that risk.
Yeah, that's nothing to weigh up, is there? There's no cost-benefit analysis there.
Right, because there's zero on the benefit side. So whatever the risk is on the other side, it's not worth it.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But there's no risk to the state, and so there's no cost to that.
That's right.
Because, you know, whatever it costs to set up the infrastructure, that's just more of a loan to the central bankers, you know, more cream for them.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, the entire justification for getting these frickin' naked body scanners in the first place was the underwear bomber who was let onto the plane, didn't have to show his ID, by some well-dressed man, you know, flashes his ID at the security staff, goes through, unchecked, right? So what the heck? It's a false flag in the first place, and the solution that they're proposing is worse than the problem that they say that it's going to protect you against in the first place. Period.
Is it always that way?
Always.
Yeah, the Christmas Day bomb is pretty much confirmed to be an intelligence operation, even by mainstream sources now.
Yeah.
Well, there was a couple of lawyers who were on that flight. And they, on their blog, they wrote up day after day how the official accounts kept changing and entirely contradicted their experience. But that didn't seem to really penetrate the media very much.
Well, you know, it's all false flag as far as I'm concerned. The government hasn't told the truth since ever. and it's not in their best interest to do so. Is it?
No.
Now, who's the companies that are actually making the money out of this, though? You know?
I think there's one called L5. Maybe I have the name wrong. I've heard about one that's L5. There's investors, people like Michael Chertoff.
All a whole bunch of eugenicists, no doubt. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. We happen to discuss what the government doesn't want you to hear. And it's not like we want to do it. It just has to be done. We'll be right back. Unity people, welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. I've decided that there might be a good idea to actually throw open the lines here and see what you, the listeners, think about this. And, are you going to let your kids walk through these scanners? Do you want to go through the groping if you opt out of it? What's your take on this? 402-237-2525, that's 402-AFR-2525. Give us a ring in and you can speak with me and Will and Jim and George about all this. Gentlemen, welcome back.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, I'm very appreciative to actually have you on the show here because, let's face facts here. There's not a majority of people who are doing the right thing in our society and actually standing up and doing what's right simply because it's what needs to be done. You know what I'm saying? It's always the small determined minority that makes the difference, and it's always the majority that try to stop differences from taking place.
It's true.
Well, I can tell you, Jim is exactly that kind of stand-up guy. You know, he's the guy, he knows the truth, he's not afraid of it, and he will tell you the truth no matter what.
It is a sort of a bad habit that does get me into trouble, but George is often the same way, and George has gotten himself in quite a bit of trouble for doing just that.
Yeah.
I think we all have been in trouble, eh? I think it's a common, seems to be a common thread. I mean,
it's a badge of honor.
I mean, if truth is, we're trying to interview each other for jobs or something like that, it's like, have you been arrested or harassed by the government? Yep. Okay, you're in. No, but it's actually quite literally like that, you know. Like, if I have a look around my circle of activist mates, every single one of them has been arrested by the government at some point. every single one. And it's not difficult to see that connection there, as it's all to do with freedom of speech and standing up for your rights and then having the government try to oppress you. And ironically enough, the point of the government trying to oppress you is to get you to shut up. Some people do shut up, but some people start yelling louder and louder and louder until they just cannot be ignored anymore, until they actually bring around some kind of a change in the general dialogue of society. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think that that's an isolated incident in any country. I think it's a human condition that we really don't want to be slaves, that we really do want to be free, and we're willing to fight for it in the main. But so many people don't even realize that there's a war on.
It's the truth. It's the truth. There is a war of ideas.
And they don't realize that protesting is for everyone too. Protest is not just for hippies or people who just want to be a thorn in the side of society or anything like that, or just rebels without a cause. Protesting is for anyone with something to say who isn't being listened to. Really,
it's an exercise of your conscience. It's an exercise of your conscience to protest. And, just as a lot of people need more physical exercise, they need a lot more conscience exercise.
Now, 402-237-2525 is the number to call in. We're talking body scanners. We're talking libertarianism, one of the most awesome types of ism, apparently. 402-237-2525 is the number to call in to get in on the action. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will, our very special guests are Jim and George from WeWon'tFly.com, and we'll be right back. It's the body scanner theme song. Very nice. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. 402-237-2525 is the number to ring in. Our very special guests are Jim and George from WeWon'tFly.com. And what was it that actually woke you guys up to this particular issue here?
Well, Jim woke me up, so what woke you up, Jim?
Well, I mean, we've been sort of aware of this for a while. I mean, it's not a new phenomenon. And in fact, before these scanners even came around, what they were doing at the airports was invasive and wrong. Michael Roberts, when I saw his message, the ExpressJet pilot who told his story about how he just walked away. Here's a guy that basically sacrificed his career to do the right thing. He said, I won't fly. And he's a professional pilot. He just said no. And when I saw this story, I was like, wow, that is the right answer. And sometimes you just have to see somebody else doing the right thing to make it click and be like, you know what? Yeah, that's what we should all be doing. And I sent him an email just to thank you. Really just to express my appreciation for what he did despite the professional cost. And, in his email, he let me know, he said that what he thought was the best approach was to target the airlines, hit them in their wallet. And it made perfect sense to me. And I thought that is something that we can do. So whatever meager efforts I have, I decided that I want to apply them in that direction. And see what we can do. Make his sacrifice count for something. Let his example, shine as a beacon for other people. And now the people are coming out of the woodwork all over the place doing the same thing. So I think there is a lot of hope there.
I find this is starting to happen a lot more of late in the truth movement in particular. That, like you said, people coming out of the woodwork. Maybe. maybe we're entering into like this, I don't know, this Ground Zero-esque type of citizens versus enslaving government movement-ish type thingamajig, right? And people are really kind of getting the message now. My assumption, of course, being full of hubris, is that the New World Order complex has been pushing really hard for all these draconian measures and health hazards and things that are just so ridiculous. They've basically gone out on a limb here, you know, and to the detriment of their agenda. And people see through it now because, well, it's almost as if they're not even trying to hide it very well.
Well, I'm not really sure that I buy into the conspiracy. I've looked into that a lot, and I think it's very interesting. I think more often than not, it's kind of, you know, the incompetence rises to the top, and that's what's happened here. The incompetence and the inherent unaccountability of government has risen to the top, and it's just, you know, playing out its logical conclusions.
What do you think about things like Bohemian Grove and Skull and Bones, and just going off the deep end here? I mean, what do you think about some of these nefarious, seemingly nefarious organizations that seem to be behind a lot of power institutions around the world?
I think that's really interesting and informative, and but I really can't tell if it's right or not. But I do know that, you know, whether or not it's true or not, the state, the institution of the state is illegitimate, it's violent, and it causes more harm than good. That's why I'm an anarchist.
Fair enough, fair enough.
Got to be better than being a Republican. Oh, I mean, it just goes to show, you know, there's no difference between the left and the right. It's all just this controlled paradigm, you know, and nobody seems to learn anything from mainstream political debate anymore. I've found is that basically you're overloaded with information, and all of it's well, bollocks, you know. So how could anybody really live any type of intelligent life or have any understanding about what's really happening out there if the system itself is corrupt to the core and filled to the brim with Republican morons? Or, you know, any type of morons. It's like you said, you know, the idiots float to the top. My consideration is it's not just the idiots that float to the top. In fact, far from it. It's more the fact that scum floats to the top. You know, it's like we're in this big political pond, really.
Right.
And on the surface, you see scum, and there ain't terribly much beneath it. You know, it's just a thin veil of filth.
There is a certain type of person that's drawn into politics and into government roles where they have a sincere desire to control people, and that is scum. And these people are the worst of humanity in many cases. They have nothing better to do but try to dream up, you know, the things that everyone else should be doing. You know, the worst, I mean, the worst kind of people, and some end up with huge amounts of power, and, you know, as we've seen, you know, people like Chairman Mao get into power, get this humongous power, and 30 million people will starve to death when they screw up, so it's definitely with consequences.
Well, they're definitely having fun. Now, we have a caller on the line. It's Kathy from California. Kathy, welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Hi, Vinnie. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing absolutely marvelous, love. What have you got for us?
Well, I quit flying when they said I couldn't smoke on their aircraft. I thought there was a better ways to get around, like the train or something. Because I thought, well, they're just going to throw more stuff at us. And I would reject the law. I did not like that. And I think they might choose. And it just goes on. So,
Sorry, Kathy, we can't hear you that much there. You're breaking up quite a bit there. Are you calling in from a landline or a Skype?
It's a cell phone, yeah.
Okay. This is the thing. We've got legislation being passed all the time that gradually restrict things, you know, like we've said before about the totalitarian tiptoe. We have this problem here where people will, gradually allow their lives to slip away out of their own control. But like you said, Kathy, you know, as soon as the air flights said that you couldn't smoke on them anymore, you decided, hey, I'm not going to do on the air flights no more. And there's a problem and there's the reaction, and it instantly kind of solves it for you, right?
It did. The train let
on
their facility, so I use them.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, and okay. Now they don't want to do that, so I don't ride the train anymore.
Okay, and unfortunately, James is going to have to go very, very shortly. And I wondered, James, if there's anything else you'd like to say before you go.
Actually, it's me, George, who has to sign off. I just want to say, Jim and I got put this together in a few days, and we got a lot more stuff to work on. We need everybody's help. We need you to organize locally and educate your friends and family and neighbors. Show up at your local airport and organize an educational event. We did it, so you can do it too.
Right on.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
All right, there he goes. That's George from WeWon'tFly.com. I'd like to very much thank him for coming on air with us today.
Thanks, George.
Also, hopefully, Jim, you're going to be posting up some flyers and stuff like that on the WeWon'tFly.com website, won't you?
Yeah.
Download them and print them out and, go out and do the protests and inform the public at the airports.
Right. There will be. In fact, at the moment, I'm not sure if they're up there yet. We have a whole new batch of materials that have just been developed, and I'm not sure if a final version has made it up onto the website. But if it's not immediately, it will be in the next day. So we do have a lot of great materials, but people can always just print up their own ideas. You know, get a picture, write down why you think it's terrible. I mean, that's really what this is about, not saying what I want you to say, but say what you feel needs to be said and say it in your own words. And I think that's the most effective way.
When things come from the heart, it usually resonates with people a little bit more, doesn't it?
I think so. I mean, when someone's sincere, when you're handed a poorly photocopied newsletter by a scruffy-looking guy, I'm actually more inclined to read that than some slick corporate-produced propaganda piece. So,
that's what people are actually genuine. But what I find is it's strange. We've got this difficulty in society is that people have decided that being genuine is a bad thing, you know. And like you said, being an honest person is almost puts you at a disadvantage in this day and age.
You may be right, but I think people respect honesty. I don't think we're so corrupt that people, I mean, outside of politics at least. I mean, if you're in politics, of course honesty will shut you down immediately. You won't get past the first step in politics if you're an honest man. But I think in business and in personal relationships, honesty is still a highly valued trait. So, and people that people recognize and respect.
It just says something about our society that really that there's still some goodness left, And I'm really loving it, frankly, because I find that all these things that I learn about New World Order, naked body scanners, poisons in the food supply, that kind of thing, the only reason why I'm actually able to learn about it is because honest, dignified people have decided to make it an issue that they make a lot of noise about. And as a result, in the main, as far as my experience is concerned, when people actually really do pick up the torch and start carrying it on, differences start to occur in the status quo. And I would think, you know, that the status quo itself, regardless of what it might be or which part of history said status quo comes from, as long as it's forever changing, that's a good thing.
Well, there are people entrenched that have a lot invested in the status quo. So that's sort of what we're up against. But I've found that when you get involved with something like this, that that some of the best people come out of the woodwork and find you. They say, wow, look, here's somebody that's, you know, it's thinking like I am. And through things like this, I have met some of the most incredible people, people that have been a total example to me, people way smarter than I am, way more talented. And I've learned so much from other people. And, you know, it's rewarding to do these kind of things, if just for that, to find that component of our society of principled, talented, creative, motivated people. You know, people like George. You know, always a pleasure to work with them, you know, because he has those traits. And I can name 20 other people that fit into that category. So it's very rewarding to get involved in things like this.
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of noticed that about myself. Like, my circles of since becoming a media activist, my circles of friends have changed somewhat. Like, where I grew up, for example, on Waiheke Island, where Will lives now, I used to have, you know, a dozen or so friends, and I'm not friends with a single one of them anymore. You know, you kind of lose contact with those people who don't really swing to the same tune. You know, if people aren't consciously active about what's happening in their lives or in their society, and more to the point, if they're not actually doing anything about it, and if they understand the problems, it's almost like I just don't have time for them anymore. You know, like, I've got better things to do, better people to talk to.
Well, then that's the beauty of modern society, is that through these social networks and the internet and YouTube and Facebook and Twitter, we have networks of associates and friends and people to learn from that can be anywhere in the world, anywhere. So I don't think at any point in human history have people had that kind of opportunity. So, you know, to be able to talk on the phone on a radio show with people on the other side of the world, being listened to by people all over the world. This is a unique phenomenon in human history. So, you know, if there's something that's going to help us, that's it. You know, these are the tools that are making the resistance possible.
Yeah, very well said. Very well said. I mean, it is, like you say, people say, oh, it's always been the same. And I say, well, no. I mean, the world has never been so small and so closed and you know, what would be sort of town crier rumors a few hundred years ago can now do the rounds from Texas to Auckland, New Zealand, and back to London in a matter of minutes, and it's really quite incredible. So you know, this is why this old world establishment, this hierarchy, who's been able to consolidate so much over centuries, is really in danger now.
They know it is the worst part, because, well, when they're under threat, they start acting even worse. You know, it's not like we've been living in a nice pink rosy society all our lives. We've been basically living under a kind of cloaked tyranny, if you will, something that you can't really see. But now that it's coming more into the open, it seems to be getting worse and worse. And I find that with bullies and anybody like that, they want you, through intimidation, to stop resisting them. Okay, that's the point of their intimidation. So with that in mind, don't, under any circumstances, stop resisting, okay? Because that's precisely what they want. And bullies will not stop taking things away from you. They will not stop suppressing you if you give them more. In World War II, the republics, well, supposedly free republics in Europe, with all of Hitler's different advances, said, oh, well, you know, we'll just let him do this and maybe he won't come after us. Oh, we'll just let him do that and maybe he won't come. No. He'll actually keep coming, all right? Ladies and gentlemen, you're dealing with fascism, all right?
True.
Not something that will stand down if you give it the opportunity to move forward. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. Our very special guest is Jim from WeWon'tFly.com, and we'll be right back at the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. Yeah, that's right. We're jamming a big monkey wrench in the machine of the New World Order. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio and, incidentally, the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. Our special guests, Jim and George from WeWon'tFly.com, are no longer with us, sadly, but I'd like to thank them, in excruciatingly large amounts for coming on and spending so much time with us. They only thought they'd be on for the first hour, but I liked them so much I decided to keep them on for a little bit longer. They have other appointments and busy stuff to be about. So if you'd like to keep up with the play, you can go to the VinnyEastwoodShow.com, and we have a video there of theirs. Which you can watch to inform yourself a little bit about what it is that they're doing and more the fact how you can contribute to their cause. Now, in other New Zealand news, as I mentioned in the first segment of today's show, great guy named Greg Hallett coming on. But before we go to that news here, we have a caller here from 971. I'll just unmute you here. Caller, you're on the air. 971, caller, you're on the air.
Hi there, Vinny. I just want to say, first of all, I really appreciate your sense of humor, especially when you say that you're full of hubris. And, you know, you could be full of something else, so that's pretty good. Yeah. Anyway, I wanted to tell you, I've been listening to these two guys that just left, and I just wanted to add my two or three or even 4 cents. I don't think that it's incompetence as much as it is corporatization. I think that we need to follow the money all the way to these machines and who's making them and how much money they're making off of them. And I think that governments are full of useful but incompetent idiots. And they're also full of people like Donald Rumsfeld, who are pretty despicable people, and he was the CEO of one of the vaccine companies. And I just think that we need...
Pardon me? And Sarah Lee, he managed to get aspartame legalized even after the test proved that all the rats that got tested on the aspartame got cancer and died.
That, yeah. Right.
1981. Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree with you, totally.
I really do think that we need... And you know, when you look at other events such as, you know, September 11th and the banking and foreclosure scandal and the Gulf oil and dispersant, don't forget the dispersant disaster, okay, who made the money? Who were they? How much money did they make out of these events? I would love to see a big chart up on the Internet with all the money.
These things are
all of the
coincidental.
Money.
It's as coincidental as you coming home and seeing someone running down the street with your TV and then going in your lounge and finding your TV missing and saying, oh, I think that was just, you know, an accident. I think that was incompetence. I
mean, yes, incompetence. And you know what? I'm glad that you bring that up, because critical thinking is totally missing here, and that we really don't ask questions about this. Like, wait a minute. Whoa. Why are you zapping me?
Why are you groping me? Why is it that we don't have these machines and everybody sitting along the borders? If we're supposed to be so frightened of terrorists coming in, why are our borders not being restricted, but you're accusing me of being a terrorist?
I mean, it's the borderline moronity, right? I mean, it reminds me of that that Disney film A Bug's Life, you know, where they got one of the mosquito guys heading towards the bug zapper, and he goes, "Barry, don't go towards the light." And he goes, "I can't help it. It's so beautiful."
Yeah. They'll just turn it back on you and say, "Hey, you're a racist because you want the border closed." You know what I mean? You can't
yes.
Yes,
I know. I don't necessarily want the border closed, but it's just a ridiculous argument. And I'm a teacher. I've been a teacher for some 40-odd years, and it's just incredible, the critical thinking skills. We are taught with a big, huge spoon there saying, we're going to teach you what to think. We're not going to teach you how to think. Oh, no.
Yeah, that's the information
that teachers are given.
You still, you know, I had a teacher when I was 13 years old hand me George Orwell, Animal Farm, and you know I'm glad she existed, and I had good teachers, and I'm glad there are people like you out there, you know, trying to reverse
here, Animal Farm.
Dangerous.
I keep threatening my husband that if George Orwell was alive today, I'd leave him for him. I think George Orwell. Animal Farm. I've read Animal Farm four times now. Four times I've read it.
You know Tony Blair's a cousin of Orwell? Orwell was an elite too, but that's another story. But at least he tried to, in some way, he exposed what they're up to. Yeah, it's kind of like Huxley and H.G. Wells and all that crowd too.
Yeah. And the New World Order's got defectors, I've found, is that there's people in there who've been doing bad things for quite a long time and then have kind of gradually woken up to the fact that, oh, my God, what have I done, you know, and they try to rectify the situation. And I think this is probably not entirely dissimilar from what happens in the general population, is that we realize that, oh, my God, I've been living life as a slave and doing nothing with my life and having no meaning for so long. Now I need to kind of make up for it. Or at least that's been the case with me as a former salesman who, in certain circumstances, finding out that when I lie to the customer, my profit margins went up, I thought, well, you know, this ain't the lifestyle for me. I've got to go do something else.
Yeah. Is that caller still there? Perhaps not.
Yeah. Apparently. But, you know, where's
the... Thanks for your call anyway. We appreciate that. there are teachers out there who are teaching our young minds, malleable minds, something worthwhile. Because there's just a world full of chaos and junk and Lady Gaga and just scum everywhere. And we really need some wholesomeness.
Yeah, absolutely. 402-237-2525 is the number to call in. And we were going back to old Greg Hallett here. What was the... you sent me a message in the middle of the night last night, Will, about this. What was it? The sequence of events here. After this totally biased article, Peter Williams QC tried to put me in jail yesterday, 3rd of November 2010, which he and Judge L.I. Hinton called attachment, and to bankrupt me on the basis that I had not removed interview about Peter Williams' relationships to the Mr. Asia heroin trafficking ring and being the mafia boss. Who better to be the mafia boss than a lawyer, of course? My tech contacted me yesterday, and I contacted him again today. The tech reported that he cannot get into the website to change anything, and had I changed the codes. Peter Williams QC also banned New Zealand, a blackmailer's guide. So, New Zealand, a blackmailer's guide, is now a blacklisted book. Traditionally, this either leads to boosting sales or book burning? And that's in from Greg Hallett. Now, the chronology of the event is as follows. Peter Williams QC brought a defamation case against Greg Hallett in 2009, and Hallett was then badly poisoned on the 11th of December of that year, and then he left New Zealand on the 22nd of March to the 18th of December 2010. And Peter Williams QC then pushed to have the defamation case heard on the 23rd of June 2010 when it was known that Greg Hallett was overseas in the EU. And this is precisely the exact same thing that happens to people like Vince Seema of KiwisFirst.co.nz fighting against court corruption. They just basically, if they know that you can defend yourself, they make sure that you're overseas when they bring a case against you. And Westpac Bank then stuffed up Greg Hallett's Visa card for 4 to 5 months between the 23rd of March to the 13th of August 2010, so it would not show on the internet, could not transfer money, and would not show a bank balance, and they would not give any form of balance, not even at an ATM hole in the wall. The New Zealand judiciary then failed to notify Greg Hallett that the case was on. And George Roderick Joyce then suppressed and sealed all of Greg Hallett's evidence. So there was no evidence. Judge Roderick Joyce then recused himself off the case. And Judge Al Hinton then took over and further obfuscated the evidence and decided that the case could be heard on the 23rd of June 2010 in Greg Hallett's absence, and that the case would be heard in, oh, say, 10 minutes' time after a cup of tea. The judiciary did not notify Hallett that the case was on, so Hallett was stuck overseas with an active visa, without an active visa card, and no notice that a hearing was on, and with all this submission suppressed. They call this New Zealand justice. And New Zealand, of course, being top of the list in Transparency International's Corruption Perception Index, not the Corruption Reality Index, of course. Yeah, I mean, seriously, bro, we must live in one of the most corrupt countries in the world if Transparency International's perception is that we're the least, you know? As far as I'm concerned,
just to give a bit of background on this story, you know, Terry Clark, otherwise known as Mr. Asia, is pretty much New Zealand's most famous drug runner, profiteer, and was involved in some likely activity, murders, has all sorts of connections around the place. We can't really go into that here, especially since there's all these defamation charges being thrown around the place. His lawyer has also been involved in a number of other cases, including defending a good politician here in New Zealand by the name of Winston Peters. I was going to say Winston Smith for a minute. Too much Orwell. But yeah, Winston Peters used this particular lawyer, and as did a couple of other high profile individuals. But going into it, it's basically the idea that Hallett accused the British mafia of paying the Queen's consul around £2.1 million, $4 million New Zealand dollars, about $3 million US dollars. And for that, he got this defamation case. I still can't understand the connection there. I can't understand why you accuse the Queen's consul of something in a book, and then someone brings a defamation case to you, and it's not even anyone who's I guess it's a QC. But does that make you a representative? I don't know. How do you see that, Vinny? I mean, how do you really see this Peter Williams, this particular QC, being able to take someone else for defamation when his name hasn't actually been mentioned?
Well, I don't know, right? And that's the problem when you don't have full disclosure and you've got corruption, is that a lot of these things we just don't know.
And then the judge, the judge who enacted this anyway, on Peter Williams's behalf, says that Hallett was Hallett repeated his claims on in a radio interview, it doesn't say where, I'm not sure where that transpired, with, quote, ease, confidence, and enjoyment. And so that to the judge, he pretty much showed contempt towards any of their sort of concerns. But then Peter Williams goes, and this is to quote, that Hallett's behavior was arrogant and outrageous, and he says, I have not read the entire book by any means. I have, however, seen some outrageous and absurd comments in it concerning others. Some of those statements are self-evidently untrue, self-evidently meaning you don't have to check, they're just untrue because they sound bizarre. Self-evidently untrue and would be regarded as such by the ordinary, reasonable, average New Zealander, in my view. Social proof. A judge shouldn't be using social proof. Social proof would say NASA doesn't have any upcoming missions because people don't know about it. Social proof would say 6,000 children didn't get killed by the Israeli government in 1951 as part of a radiation program because the average, ordinary, reasonable New Zealander doesn't know about it. So stupid. I literally hate scum like that. And I will call them that. You know, Peter Williams, if you say that, Judge Hinton, if you say that, you are scum. Take me to court about it. You are scum. You cannot say that proof constitutes what the average is constituted by what the average, ordinary, reasonable New Zealander knows about. I mean, the average, ordinary, reasonable New Zealander doesn't know what a third-order differential equation using mathematical modeling and high-end calculus is. Does the average New Zealander know how to do integrate and find the area under a curve? No, but does that mean that field of mathematics doesn't exist? It's so stupid.
Welcome to New Zealand, Will.
It literally makes like whatever the dumb consensus is the truth.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, on the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio and the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And, Will, you were searching up on this judge here
I'm not aware of anything about this judge. But, I mean, I don't really care what he is. I mean, at the end of the day, they're trash because their way of discerning what's truthful or not is what the average, ordinary New Zealander knows and perceives. And so if you hoodwink a population over a few generations, let's say, and if you turn everyone into dumb sons of guns, then all of a sudden reality is not reality anymore. It's what they perceive it to be, and you make judgment calls and cost people $140,000. You know, it's just so – a judge is meant to be, you know, if these people were really about truth and honor and virtue and chivalry and brotherhood and all these things they claim to be, they would be – their judgments would be more in line with the world, with physics, with nature, with reality, with, you know, with yardsticks. Perceptions amongst a bunch of hot dog eaters is not a yardstick of truth. You know, you just can't do that. And I'm not saying everything Hallett says is true. If you're going into a court of law, you expect better than that. So that means, does that mean that Peter Williams can then take me or you to court for saying 9/11 is an inside job, which I swear by, which I challenge him to? Does that mean he can take me to court and they can drag me up in there and say, you owe $500,000 because the average New Zealander doesn't agree with you? Even you can have stacks of evidence and FBI testimony and and CIA whistleblowers and all the rest of it. Evidence of thermite, you can have everything, and they'll just say, well, the average person doesn't agree with you, so it's not reasonable in my view either.
Hey, but maybe society could change to the point where we're the people who decide what's reasonable, and then we become the tyrants, right?
Well, it already has in my world. It already has in my world. And so, you know, someone comes spewing crap to my door like that, you know, they're going to get a mouthful if they're lucky. You know, like, I mean, I'm just sick, you know, like, I'm sick of them getting in my life, and the government shouldn't get in anyone's life. You know, like our guest earlier was saying, we're not put on this earth to serve some middleman, some slick con artist, salesman type. You know, people can see that real estate agents and car salesmen sometimes lie, but somehow they can't see that the government are middlemen on the transactions of life between relations of ordinary human beings, that they are just getting into everything. Where you travel, what you eat, who you can be friends with, how you can talk to people, what you can buy and sell on the free market.
Hey, how you long know, has the free market been around, you know, like 20 minutes and then it got snapped up by monopolists and scum?
I mean, because a free market doesn't work when you have huge, cloaked, veiled secret societies and special interest groups. It cannot work. People, I don't mind the Masons. They don't affect my life. Okay, why is a beehive called the Beehive in Wellington, in New Zealand? Why, you know, they don't affect your life. Of course not. Of course not. They just print your currency. They just devalue everything around you. Of course they don't affect your life.
Yeah, you know, it's they just like make in my the laws local that town, govern it.
In my local town, rates have doubled. To the point where the average household was paying about $600-700 a year in rates. Now they're paying about $1,600 a year. You know, they're paying about, on average, about $800 more. That's like if I come to your house and I just started to smash up your front windows, cost about $800 worth of damage. Now, if I went down my street and smashed up all the front windows, I would have a mob of angry people wanting to kill me. But if the council does it to the whole town, no one says anything. And if I stand up and write a letter or say something about it, well, you're being extreme. That's not the way things are done.
Where's sanity, man? I mean, seriously, don't you think that sanity is overrated, you know? Because that's what's happening, isn't it?
Servitude. That's what most people think of sanity. It's just, hey, man, I know life's bad. I know things are tough. Now, life's not all bad, of course not. But I know things are tough. You just got to take it, man. Everyone does. I just do what everyone else does. You know, they set the trend, though. Who sets that trend? The social engineers, these trash I'm talking about, they tell you how to behave. They have these things, Shortland Street, where you should get angry about, you know, someone giving you the wrong bandage or something in your local hospital. Like, but don't get angry about the real things. They tell you how to behave, you see. They tell you how to be friends to people. Don't talk politics or religion. They're setting all the parameters.
Yeah. And this is the thing. It's just like a haircuts, for example. You're going for your haircut. Those are the subjects that you can't discuss. You can't discuss politics and you can't discuss religion. You know, because these are the things that people have what you call, an invested interest in.
That's why I cut my own hair, Vinny. So seriously, it's all taking control of your own life. It's just I do. I cut my own hair. It's a nice example there, Vinny. I mean, it's just taking it out of other people's control. It's like, to hell with you people.
Yeah, absolutely. Fist in the air in the land of hypocrisy, so says Rage Against the Machine. And I reckon I got a lot of rage against the old machine, and perhaps it will make me bitter or full of hubris and arrogance. Hopefully somebody will be able to expose me at the point that I to end up like that. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will, and we will be back tomorrow with another very special guest, I'm sure.